Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Paul Gann, and for the next 2 hours, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas, all your opinions, and all your beliefs. And, of course, as always, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. If you have an opinion, the number to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send messages to the show on Twitter at Go4Gant. And while you're there, give us a follow on Twitter, also at Go4Gant. Got a big show lined up for you today. Expected to be joined by Carolina Panthers linebacker John Beeson. And Beeson right now is on injured reserve, but he's fighting a good fight to get himself back for next year. He tore his Achilles first game of the season, but he's fighting a good fight to get back. And we're going to talk to him about his rehab and what's going on with him now. Also, Denver Broncos long snapper Lonnie Paxton will be joining us. And Lonnie's going to talk to us about Tebow Mania and all the things that's going on with Tim Tebow. It's a crazy time there in Denver. So we're going to talk to Lonnie about that. Also, expected to be joined by NFL legend Maxie Bond. And Maxie's going to stop on by and tell us what's going on with him. And Maxie won an NFL championship with the 1960 Philadelphia Eagles, ironically the only championship in Philadelphia Eagles history. The only championship in Philadelphia Eagles history. The only. And we're going to talk to him, and also we're going to be joined by the great Willie Rofe, and Willie's going to talk all things NFL. Got a good show for you. Make sure you stick and stay around. Good show tonight. Beast, John Beeson, Lonnie Paxton, Willie Rofe, and Maxie Bond. But I want to get started right now with the big matchup that will transpire in Denver this Sunday. Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, Tim Tebow, and the Denver Broncos are set to get it on. Both of these teams are playing some great football right now. They're playing some great football. And this is going to be a big-time matchup. And to me, and I said this last week about the Broncos playing the Chicago Bears, and it was kind of my opinion that that was a game that was going to tell you a lot about Tim Tebow because of the Bears' defense. Guess what? Tim Tebow was shut down darn near the whole game. But when it came to the fourth quarter and around 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, Tim Tebow does what Tim Tebow has done throughout his time as a starter with the Denver Broncos. I mean, the guy threw for 191 yards in the fourth quarter and in overtime, and he brought the Denver Broncos back. And ultimately, the Denver Broncos won the football game, and ultimately, the Denver Broncos became 7-1 with Tim Tebow as a starter. And ultimately, the Denver Broncos are now the number one in the AFC West. They are leading the AFC West. And who would have thunk that when they were 1-4, pretty much left for dead? They were left for dead. And I still got to be honest. I still do not believe in Tim Tebow. I still do not believe in Tim Tebow. But it's getting close. The guy is just proving me wrong each and every Sunday. He is proving me wrong each and every Sunday with the plays that he is making. He is making some big-time plays at big times. I mean, no, he is making some serious plays. And the reality is the guy, like I said, all the intangibles in the world when it comes to Tim Tebow. All the intangibles in the world. Super guy. Just one of the great, seems like a great kid. but I saw all the intangibles, but I didn't necessarily see the tangibles. And that is his throwing motion. That is his mechanics. That is his ability to be able to run an NFL-style offense. And if you look at it, he's really not running an NFL-style offense. His ability in the pocket. I mean, all those things. All those things. But you look at it. You look at this whole situation with Tim Tebow. It is just flat out amazing. Somehow, some way, Marion Barber goes out of bounds late in the ball game. Somehow, some way, Matt Prater hits a 59-yard field goal. Somehow, some way, Marion Barber looked like he was on his way to possibly at least put the Chicago Bears in big-time field goal position. Fumbles the football, stripped, fumbles. The Denver Broncos recover. I mean, all these things are happening while these games are going on. It's just crazy. It's just flat out crazy that Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos are finding a way to win football games when it looks like they're left for dead. It's just flat out amazing how they're getting it done. They're just getting it done, and they're getting it done big time. They're just making a lot of plays. A lot of plays are being made by Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos. It is just flat out amazing how they're making these plays and how they're getting this thing done. I'm shocked each and every week. I see it. I'm shocked. It's just mind-boggling to see how he gets it done. I just don't know how he gets it done. I can't explain how he gets it done. But when the fourth quarter hits, and I guess when the lights shine the most, the guy finds a way to get it done. He finds a way to get it done. And it's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable how he's doing it. It's just unbelievable how he is doing it. I kind of had a loss for words when it comes to this whole Tim Tebow situation. He's just doing things that, it's just, you can't explain. It's a whole thing you really can't explain. And I will explain it by this, though. I can explain this. The defense. The defense is what really is the thing that's keeping his team going. Tebow is making the plays in the fourth quarter, but it's all about that defense. And that defense held the Chicago Bears to 10 points. And they're holding teams where they need to hold them. They're keeping the score in manageable range, so that Tebow can work his magic in the fourth quarter. And that's what he has done, worked his magic in the fourth quarter. It's been a magical ride in Denver. It's been a fun time, if you're an NFL fan, to see what is going on with Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos. This is fun. It truly is fun to watch. I mean, it's exciting, it's compelling, and it's mind-boggling all at the same time. But it is fun to watch. And I am truly enjoying watching Tim Tebow and watching him do what he has done in these last few weeks. I mean, it's just, and granted, it's not all him. And I would say most of it is the defense. But for whatever reason, the moment he stepped into the game and stepped and became the quarterback for this Broncos team, the defense seemed to play better, and everybody just seemed to be inspired and seemed to play inspired football for whatever reason. And I'm not saying it's him. I'm not saying it's all him, and I know it's not all him. And I think everybody knows it's not all him, but if you watch SportsCenter and all these other shows, you would think it was all him, and he was truly the reason why the Broncos are where they're at. But it's the defense. I mean, you hold the Dolphins less than 17 points. You hold the Chiefs less than 17 points. The Jets less than 17 points. The Chargers less than 17 points. And the Bears less than 17 points. So out of his eight starts and out of his seven victories, five of those games, the Broncos' defense held their opponent under 17 points. That helps a lot. That truly helps a lot. But just like it's something about Mary, there is something about Tim Tebow. And it's hard to explain. But there's something about this guy that, for whatever reason, when the fourth quarter comes, the guy just steps his game up and just plays out of his mind. He just plays out of his mind. But I think this week against the New England Patriots, they're going to have to score more than 13 points. They're going to have to score more than 13 points if they want to be successful against Tom Brady and the Patriots. The Patriots will put up their points. They will put up their points. The question is, can Tebow and the Broncos offense put up points as well? And there is an opportunity against this Patriots defense. It's not a good defense. It's flat out not a good defense. So there are opportunities there. There are opportunities there. But we shall see what happens in this game tomorrow. It's going to be a big game, and I'm looking forward to it. Tebow Mania swept the country, and I'm not on the wave yet, but I'm close. Spring in now, the long snapper for the Denver Broncos, Mr. Lonnie Paxton. Lonnie, how are you, sir?
Good. How's everybody?
Everybody is well. Thanks for joining us.
You got it. Anytime.
And Lonnie, you played with Tom Brady, and you guys made an improbable run to the Super Bowl when you were with the Patriots back in 2001. But have you ever been around anything like this and what's going on with Tim Tebow? I mean, have you ever been around anything like this? This is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, and it's crazy how the media is portraying it, because inside the locker room, the guys are exact same. They know we got a task at hand, and we know it's a team sport. So you're gonna see a lot of outside reactions that are blown out of proportion. And I would say that there's a lot of factors that have gone into our run. The general, the head guy, the quarterback's gonna get a lot of the credit, but there's a lot of factors that play into that.
Right. And one of those factors is the defense. The defense has been playing very well for you guys. And at one point, Lonnie, you guys were 1-4, left for dead, basically. Now you're 8-5 on top of the AFC West. If I told you that when you were 1-4 that you would be on top of the AFC West at this point of the season, what would you tell me?
You know, you always try to have a positive mind. You know, it definitely you definitely go into games trying to win them. So I was hopeful. I'd tell you we'd win 7 in a row or 8 in a row, but, you know, this is a great run. It's something that the guys don't think too much into. You know, it's on a week-to-week basis. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into every game, competing against other teams and different aspects of the game. But, you know, I'd be lying if I told you we'd have done 7-1 at that point. And, you know, we haven't done anything yet. The quest is to get to the tournament and see where we can go. And I think we got a good shot, but we ain't done yet. So we got three tough games ahead of us, and take them one at a time.
And you talked about the quarterback receiving a lot of the credit, and sometimes the quarterback receives a lot of the blame. But when you look at this situation, it seemed like the moment Tebow became a starter, the defense started playing better, and just everybody just started to pick their game up. What does Tebow have that seems to inspire you guys?
Well, the guy's a confident guy. You know, the guy plays hard. He works hard. You know, I wouldn't say it's any one person. You know, we have the benefit of playing in the ultimate team sport in this world, and there's a lot of guys that have a positive attitude, a lot of guys that work hard. There's a lot of guys who bring their A game every day. It's film study, meetings, practice, workouts, whatever it may be. And so when one guy starts performing at a high level, and then you also have in this factor, you have special teams, which I'm a part of. And when you have an offense that might go 3 and out, you have a punter that's pinning the ball deep and giving the defense an opportunity to make plays. And then they pin the ball deep, they kick it back to us. So it's the ultimate team sport where you can just go back and forth, kicking game, offense, defense. And, you know, when Tim comes to work every day and he's got this positive attitude, it definitely brushes off on people. We got a lot of veterans in that locker room that do the same.
We're talking to Lonnie Paxton, long snapper for the Denver Broncos. And Lonnie, you have Tom Brady and the Patriots coming to town this Sunday. They're on a winning streak. You guys are on a winning streak. Both of your teams are hot. Both of these teams are hot. What do you feel like you guys have to do to keep the winning streak going?
You know, you got to play mistake-free. They're a team that capitalizes on other teams' errors. And you definitely got to take your opportunities when you get them. So, you know, as a team, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, you got to, when it's presented, you got to take it. You can't make mistakes. You got to play smart football, and you got to play for 60 minutes. And they're a team, as I know, that has done that a lot in the past, and now I'm on the other side. And, you know, learned from one of the best quarterbacks and coaches in the history of the game, and trying to bring that into this locker room with some of the knowledge that we might have learned during that time. And, you know, it's a team that doesn't give up, and they don't make too many errors. So when they present themselves, we definitely got to jump on them.
And this is a team that scores a lot of points. And do you feel like during this game, your offense is going to have to pick it up a little bit in terms of the points?
You know, I would, you know, that's the offense's job is to score points. The defense's job is to stop them. So every game you want to go in and score 100 points. I mean, that's not the case, but you're not trying to run plays to get 2 yards. You're trying to run plays to score. So every game's different, and I think that this game will be the exact same. You know, our defense is going to try and stop them. Our offense is going to try and pound the ball. And special teams trying to change field position. So it's definitely going to be tough. They're a great squad, got a lot of veteran leadership, and especially the coach knows how to game plan against certain positions, certain teams, so it's going to be fun.
And Lonnie, you snapped the ball for a lot of big kicks during your career. Adam Vinatieri, the big kicks against the Raiders and his big kicks in the Super Bowl. You were there. You snapped the ball. But how impressed were you with Matt Prater's 59-yard field goal to put the game in overtime on Sunday?
I would say not too impressed because the guy kicks 70 yards in practice on a regular. I mean, I know the guy has a big leg. As a kicker, you got a few opportunities a game to make it happen. And so when the lights are shining on you, you got to shine back. And, you know, we practice that every day. So it wasn't too impressive on my end because I see it all the time. To me, it was normal. I think the guy's got more leg in him. He's a young guy who works hard. And, you know, let's just hope we capitalize on every opportunity we get, and that's kind of what our job is.
And what's the greatest kick you've ever been a part of? You've been a part of a lot of them, a lot of good ones.
You know, I mean, the run we had in 01 where, you know, we kicked a 46 or 48 game tying field goal in the snow against the Raiders, then we had a game winner. You know, but that's you're in 6 to 8 inches of snow, and the conditions are tough. You know, we kicked one in the Super Bowl to win the game, another 40-something yarder. And, you know, it had to be that. But, you know, they only keep getting better as I keep getting older because I appreciate it more, and I appreciate the work that everyone puts in and the positions that we're put in. You know, we got limited plays for a contest. We try and come in there and be 100%. And so, you know, they're only going to get bigger, and I'm sure we're going to have a few more coming up.
And like you said, there is a lot of football left to be played. But do you see any similarities between this ball club and that 2001 Patriot ball club that kind of came out of nowhere to win the Super Bowl?
You know, at that point in my career, I was a young guy, so I really didn't know what was going on. I was just kind of riding the wave. I don't think as a team we really knew what was going on. We were taking it one game at a time. We had a lot of new faces from the year before. There was a lot of changes coming out of 2000 to 2001, and especially with 9/11 and when Drew Bledsoe went out, Tom Brady came in. You know, completely different situation. You know, we went on a run, and it was fun. It was enjoyable, and you didn't think of it as a run. You just thought of it as game to game, and I think that's what the guys are doing here now. So as far as similarities go, I mean, you can match it with the type of run or the type of attention the media is given, but there's completely different situations, different teams. I'm an older guy now, so I can appreciate it more. Back then, I had no clue what was going on. So now I just see a lot of these young guys producing when it comes time to produce. We got you know, Von Miller and Tebow and Demaryius Thomas and some of these younger guys, and we got some new players like Willis McGahee and some of the guys on defense that have just stepped up and veterans like Champ and Doc and Elvis. I mean, there's the guys all over the field that are just doing it. So I can appreciate it more. I would say there's some similarities in the type of run we're having, but completely different situations.
We're talking the long snapper of the Denver Broncos, Lonnie Paxton. And Lonnie, many long snappers kind of live in anonymity, but you are one of the more recognizable long snappers in the game. Talk about life as a long snapper in the NFL.
That's the way it is. You're trying to be anonymous, kind of jokesters in the locker room, some alternative type interests off the field as far as business opportunities or things you're interested in. We got a little bit more time on our hands than other guys. And I would say that, since we only have 10 or 12 plays a game, we're extremely serious about those plays. And our practices are completely different from other guys, and where they're banging all practice long and have these, crazy drills, where we come in, we're kind of like a closer. We come in, have one play at a time, got to do it right, and then we're off the field. And, it's being a specialist, you got to have thick skin. You got to know that that's your only job. You got to do it right or you're not there anymore. And I think all 32 of us have that same view, and we take it serious. And we just appreciate the fact that we live in America, and there's a position called a long snapper. We can do what we do and make good money and live the life we live.
And on the surface, Lonnie, it seems like a fairly easy job, but I know that it's very hard to get the ball back to the punter and back to the placeholder. But talk about that process of getting the ball back to the punter and to the holder.
Well, it's repetition. You've done it so long, so many times that, to the outside, it looks easy, but that's the definition of a professional. We make the difficult look easy. That's why we're here.
Right.
So continuously all day long, we're practicing our craft. All year long, we're practicing our craft. And, when it's a field goal situation, you're trying to perfect snap, absorb the rush, and, normally it gets off in 1.2 and 1.4 seconds. And upon different situation, you got to snap it perfect. You got to try and block a certain rush that they're throwing, whether it's a game or a slant, loop, twist, whatever it may be, and then transition to a defensive player and run down the field and try and assist in coverage. So, completely two different aspects, but throughout the day you're practicing both, working on both, and they're very similar but so far apart.
And when did you realize that you could make and you could have a long, productive career being a long snapper? When did that set in that you could actually do it and be a long snapper for the rest of your career?
It would have to be after my senior year of college. I was playing offensive line and long snapping throughout college, and I always wanted to be an offensive lineman in the NFL, and it worked out to where whether I wasn't big enough, strong enough, good enough, whatever it may be, but I also had a skill on the other end, long snapping. And at that time, I didn't know that it could be a specialty position. I thought you had to have multiple skills to help a team. And we always say the more you can do, will keep your job here for a long time. But when I got that opportunity to come to the Patriots, and I was fourth string on the depth chart, and had no clue what I was getting myself into, had no idea that I would even have a chance. Just got into practice and got into mini camp and started doing what I knew how to do. And it just worked out that I beat out three guys in front of me. And at that time, I kind of perfected more of my skill. And throughout college, I looked at it as my second job playing offensive line. And once I did that full time, I think it really honed my skills and gave me the mindset that this was something I could do.
And Lonnie, you're doing some work on the field, but you're also doing a lot of work off the field. You're very busy in the community with your Active Force Foundation. Tell us about it.
Well, it was started back in 2003 with a friend of mine. He broke his back in 1999 and was in a wheelchair. He's paralyzed from the waist down. And he always was a professional snowboarder and an active person in action sports. And once he broke his back, he had no outlet. He had no activity that he thought he could do. So once he found that, he figured out you needed equipment. It costs a lot of money. You need help. You need assistance. And found a four-wheel mountain bike in Canada that people ride downhill, and there's competitions, there's events where you can go and ride these things. But turns out that piece of equipment was subpar. It was on the lower end of the athletes are progressing, but the equipment isn't. So we decided to start a foundation where we would raise money to engineer a four-wheel mountain bike to start producing these things, putting them into camps, and hosting injured veterans, injured athletes, and creating an outlet, a sport that can, release your mind from the struggles of being in a wheelchair, and also create even playing field for people who have a disability and also a person who's active with two working legs, a working mind, working hands. So we host camps, and we have fundraisers and events where we raise money, and we put these injured military, injured athletes into these bikes in the mountains and give them something to create an active lifestyle for them, after whatever injury they might have occurred.
And you're doing some great things with that. Keep doing what you're doing with that. You're also involved with Wounded Warriors, the Wounded Warriors program. Tell us about that.
Well, the Wounded Warriors are just kind of, they're its own entity. So as the Active Force Foundation, we host injured veterans who, in our mind, are warriors. It might not be the Wounded Warriors Foundation, but they're warriors. They've put their life on the line overseas, and they come to our camps, they come to our events, and that's part of what we do. They might have post-traumatic stress, they might have some missing lower limbs, but creating these camps, getting them out to our events, meeting football players, meeting other kids who might have disabilities who we're just evening the playing field between someone who's put their life on the line, a professional athlete, a kid who might have a disability or was injured in a sport, giving them an outlet, which is our four-wheel mountain bikes, and putting them all in the same atmosphere and same vehicle to give them a sense of self-worth. And, it might not be the actual Wounded Warriors Foundation, but we assist everyone we can, and a lot of times we're helping guys who come directly from overseas.
And where can we find information about this Active Force Foundation?
ActiveForceFoundation.org is our foundation. We're on Twitter, Active Force FDTN is our Twitter sign, and we're hosting events all the time, having camps up in Crested Butte, Winter Park, North Star, British Columbia, up in Whistler, and we're always hosting events. So look us up, and we'll get you information.
And is that one of the better parts of being an NFL player, the opportunity to be able to give back to others?
100%. I mean, it's one of the greatest vehicles in the world to help give back. Touch people's lives that might not have had that chance. And get other players involved to do the same. I mean, other guys have their own foundations, their own interests, their own companies and products that they help. And we all trade. And so when I have a foundation event, they come to mine. When they have an event, I go to theirs. And it's we're all in it for that reason. You want to have a good life and give back to your family and your loved ones and anyone you touch on a daily basis, whether it's from a foundation, a hospital, or the kid next door, you want to just reach out there and tell your story and give positive vibes to them.
And, again, continue to do the great things you're doing in the community. It's great that you guys are giving back and taking the time to give back to the less fortunate. And Lonnie, I look at this situation now. Things continue to go the way they're going. Is there a possibility that we will see the Snow Angel again?
That was spur of the moment. I'd like to say yes, but I would say that you know, in Denver, we're lucky to get a lot of sunny days. It might be cold, but I don't see snow in the future. And, you know, we got to get to the playoffs. We got to win one game at a time and get to the dance, you know, and then we'll start thinking of that stuff.
And right now you guys are on top of the AFC West, 8-5, and are in a good spot right now. But you got a big game against the Patriots. You got to continue to play well and continue to get it done. Lonnie, it was a pleasure talking to you, man. And again, one more time, give everybody information for your Active Force Foundation, where they can find it.
ActiveForceFoundation.org, and we're on Twitter sign at ActiveForceFDTN. And yeah, we'll have information on events, on programs that we offer, on our vehicle that we provide, and just some good updated news.
Lonnie, it was a pleasure talking to you, sir. We wish you nothing but the best of luck moving forward. Enjoy the ride. I mean, I love watching Denver Broncos games right now. I mean, it's always a crazy, crazy ending, and it's always exciting. So enjoy the ride, and we appreciate you stopping by. And, again, let's do this again, and good luck moving forward.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Spring in now. The long snap. Lonnie Paxton. It was a pleasure talking to him and the Denver Broncos again. A lot of crazy football, a lot of crazy things happening with those Denver Broncos and Tim Tebow doing all those crazy things in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's just flat out absolutely amazing. And we'll see what happens against the New England Patriots this week. They're going to have to score some points. Can Tebow score points? Can he score a lot of points? How will he do in a shootout? We shall see this Sunday against the New England Patriots. I have my doubts. Got a lot of doubts, actually, but we shall see what happens. Let's bring in now linebacker for the Carolina Panthers, John Beeson. John, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And John, first game of the season, you rupture your Achilles, and you had some issues with that leg throughout the summer. But when you injured it, did you think it was ruptured at the time?
Not instantly. You know, once the trainers came out there, they knew right away when they squeezed my calf that I had, you know, that it had ruptured it. So it's kind of a weird feeling. I mean, if you've ever been around someone when they tear their Achilles, it's loud. It makes a real snapping sound. And I actually thought someone tripped me. It felt like someone hit me in the back of the leg. And you know, once I, you know, rolled around a little bit, I realized no one was there, and I knew I had ruptured it.
And it's funny you said that because I know a few guys who ruptured their Achilles, and they kind of said the same thing. It seems like something hit it, and they're looking around to see what hit it, and they realize that they can't walk.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. But, you know, it's part of the game. And you know, to this point, I've been fortunate I hadn't missed a snap in over 3 years. And, you know, I started every game of my career. So, you know, the trainer said, hey, look, I probably added a couple of years to my career taking this whole year off.
And how hurt were you going into that game?
Well, you know, I didn't practice at all during training camp. You know, they knew about it during the lockout that, you know, I was having some issues with my Achilles and with my heel. You know, we got it to where it was tolerable, and you know, I was like, hey, it's a game I'm playing no matter what, and if something happens, it happens, and you know, I'm gonna go as hard as I can until you know, and until something does happen. If it doesn't, then we'll just keep playing.
And this offseason, John, you signed a 5-year, $51 million contract. You became the highest paid middle linebacker in the game of football. Do you think you may have pushed yourself to kind of prove that you were worth that kind of money?
Well, you know, I think that's a big part of it. Anytime, you know, you sign a big blockbuster deal like that, you definitely you want to follow it up with a great year, and you want to prove to everyone, you know, that you are worth the money. You know, for me, I've been playing in a small market in Carolina, and, you know, we don't get many primetime games. So, you know, becoming the highest paid guy, I'm sure that you know, that hit the wire, and a lot of people knew about it. So I was like, you know, people who didn't know about me, I knew I had to go out and prove it.
We're talking to Carolina Panthers linebacker John Beeson. And John, right now, how is the Achilles feeling?
Oh, man, it feels great. I've been walking around out of the boot now for 2 weeks. I was 3 months yesterday, and the rehab's going well. We're starting to get aggressive with it, and even though we're still taking it slow, just because I have so much time, there's no reason to rush back. But it feels great.
And I don't think people truly realize how lonely and how difficult rehab can be. How tough has this process been for you?
Well, you know what? When it happens, you have to, come to grasp with it and realize that, there's no coming back from the IR. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, you can sit and pout about it, or you can say, let's go ahead, let's go about this rehab and, let's get back. But at the same time, in my mind, I'm looking to be better than I ever was. So, that's the goal I've set for myself. Thomas Davis, obviously, he tore his ACL, and we've been, in there rehabbing together, working out still and staying in great shape the best we can.
And how much does that help you, being around Thomas Davis?
Oh, man, it's huge. With Thomas, obviously, he's a linebacker. Kind of the one guy I probably look up to being that he's older than me. And, we've been doing this thing together for a long time, and it shouldn't be any different. We obviously want to get back and help our team. It's been encouraging to watch the young guys go out and make plays, on our behalf. And you look at our offense, it's playing great. So, it's a lot of things moving forward, man, with the Carolina Panthers, why you should be, overly motivated to, be a part of it and get back.
And, John, I was reading your bio on your website, johnbeeson.com, and you had a quote that kind of stuck out to me, and it says, "I am a Christian, but I know bad things are going to happen, and overcoming them is what shapes and molds the person you are." I kind of get the sense that's your mindset with dealing with this setback, this injury here.
Yeah, and life's all about how you handle bad. You can rely on those things, that bad things are going to happen, and, how you deal with them, obviously determines the type of person you are. And it makes it good, all the more sweeter. But, for me, that's like I said, I came to grasp with it. And, hey, let's do it. I'll have a testimony when it's all said and done.
And that's a great, great point that you bring up there. And, John, you look at it, a lot of players went down with Achilles injuries. On some level, do you believe that you're possibly a casualty of the lockout on some level?
Well, you know what? I'm a guy who when I train, I tend to overdo it because I rely a lot on that. I kind of, go about training. I'm like paranoid where, I don't know what Ray Lewis is doing. I don't know what Patrick Willis is doing. So, I'm up early, working out. I go hit it again around 7 at night. And, sometimes you have to listen to your body. But, anytime when you are faced with the lockout, not knowing the uncertainty of when you're going to get that call, you want to stay in great shape. And I think in this case, maybe I was a little burnt out just from training so much.
We're talking to Panthers linebacker John Beeson. And, John, you were the heart and soul of that Carolina Panthers defense, a defense that has struggled this year. How tough is it for you to kind of sit on the sidelines, sit back and watch this?
Well, it's definitely frustrating. I think out of our 9 losses, I want to say we've led in the fourth quarter, I think eight of the 9 losses. And, for that to happen, just to be one play away, you can't help but think, you would have made a difference. But it's a lot of things that we were faced with. When we went into training camp, I was trying to learn coaches' names, their personality, along with the scheme, the terminology. I mean, it's definitely was an uphill battle for us, from the start. And, I think for the most part, with all the injuries that we had, I think we have like 17 guys on IR. I think it's hard to kind of be consistent. But I think, we're building some things, and looking forward, I know we're going to be a team to be reckoned with.
And one of those building blocks is Cam Newton. I mean, the guy has been balling this season. Watching him in camp and watching him in preseason, did you expect Cam to be this good this soon?
No, I mean, like I said, like you just said, I'm sorry, you know, I had the ability to watch him in camp and through preseason. And based on his performance in both, you saw glimpses where, you know, you're like, wow, that was an amazing throw, or that was a great play, or even a series. But you never saw, you know, the consistency that he's played with. And it started right from the gun. I mean, since we got to Arizona, you know, he went out and played like a veteran. And it's amazing to see him mature. And, you know, he thinks that he could be the best to ever do it. And I agree. And I think when you set those type of goals and you're willing to work for them, the sky's the limit. So, you know, I look for Cam to continue to, you know, amaze people and wow people. And, you know, we're going to get to, you know, that Super Bowl. I think it'll be real soon. Based on the pieces that we have, I think we can get it done.
And Cam Newton, he just seems to have, and this is from afar, obviously, but he seems to have that it factor. You kind of alluded to that.
Yeah, you know, throughout the draft process, you know, you're watching this kid. Obviously, we had the number one pick, and it's, you know, it's a valuable pick, but no one knew exactly where we're going to go. And I know I was pushing for Cam solely based on that factor alone, the it factor where, you know, he had all of the little allegations come out about him right before the big game versus LSU, and he went out and he just played like it was not on his mind at all. And, you know, most people would fold in that situation, but he just went out and got it done. And, you know, anytime you have that it factor, it's not about, you know, what someone says, hey, you know, this guy is not that accurate, or, you know, his offense was you know, he couldn't call an offensive play, all these different things they said about him. And then he just kind of just picked it up and said, you know what, I can do it anyway. And, you know, those are guys who become, you know, Pro Bowlers, Hall of Famers, and Super Bowl MVPs.
And John, you were 95 on the NFL Network's top 100 list, a list made up by the players. How much of an honor was that for you?
Well, you know, it was definitely an honor to be, you know, named to the list. You know, I know there's a lot of controversy behind the list. If you talk to players, you know, no one ever said, hey, no one asked me anything about a list, and they said, you know, by the players, but nevertheless, it was still, you know, still cool to be a part of it. I would like to have been higher, but, you know, that's something that I'll take with me as fuel, and, you know, I'll just keep, you know, proving to people why I belong, you know, amongst the elite.
And where would you put yourself?
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, you look at stats, and that didn't have anything to do with it. And then, obviously, I'm only comparing myself to the linebackers that were on the list. So it's kind of one of those things based on 1 year, but then there's guys who didn't have a good year who were extremely high based on their name. So when it comes inside backers, man, I think I'm right up there, you know, arguably one of the best. And obviously, I look at, you know, the Ray Lewis, the Patrick Willis's of the world, and I compare myself to those guys, and I think I'm right there with them.
And, John, this past week you had James Harrison, who was suspended for a helmet-to-helmet hit. You're a hard hitter yourself. Talk about how difficult it is to truly avoid those type of helmet-to-helmet hits.
Well, you know, the biggest problem is if people could hit like James Harrison, they would be in NFL. When you're in high school, when you get your scholarship to go to college, you know, you're the guy who was hitting people hard your whole life. And that's ultimately why you got rewarded. You didn't get rewarded for getting, you know, run by or run over. So it's kind of hard to all of a sudden switch when you know, the game is changing, that mentality, because if you do, you can hurt yourself. But on the same token, you know, that's what you're there for. You know, that's what people, obviously, that's what people want to see. And we know it's combative sport, and you never want to, you know, intentionally hurt anybody, but it's extremely hard to slow down and change, you know, where you're hitting someone, especially as an offensive player. You know, they're trying to protect themselves too. So a lot of times they duck their helmet into you, and as soon as they hear that sound, the flag comes out, and you have a FedEx on Tuesday, you know, with the fine.
Right. And, John, looking at it, you have an opportunity now to kind of sit back and watch the league unfold. Anything that kind of stood out for you this year?
Well, you know, speaking about, you know, the whole James Harrison thing, it's just been brought to our attention by the PA that this year in particular, The referees are throwing way more flags because they want to get a broad range between, you know, the iffy hits and, you know, the blatant, you know, deliberate, you know, hits to the head, where they're going to go back and review it and then kind of trying to find a better way to go about, you know, getting this thing addressed. But that's probably been the biggest thing with me. And then, you know, the whole Tim Tebow thing is unbelievable. I've never seen a player get as much TV time, you know, based on his performance. It's just unbelievable to me.
And he's an average to a below average quarterback and getting a lot of attention. I mean, I've never seen a player with his skill set get the same type of attention. I mean, I guess the last person you would say is Refrigerator Perry, a guy who got a lot of attention. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's a great story.
It's definitely tough to you know, to wrap your mind around it. And you just hit it on the head. Like, there's a certain skill set that quarterbacks are supposed to possess. And one of those things is throwing the ball. I think he's a great runner. I think they've done a good job of changing the offense for him. But if you look at the output, you know, of what they're producing, it's really probably last in the league. You're scoring 10, you know, 13, 17 points a game. I mean, you know, a team, the defense hold an offense to 17 points a game all year, you're supposed to win about 88% of the time. So as a defensive player, not that, you know, I want to take anything away from Tim Tebow, but I would like to hear them talk about how great Denver's defense is playing or how amazing their kicker is. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's more intangibles,
right?
And it's more of a story to talk about with the obvious things that are happening. But, you know, nevertheless, man, you know, the media wants what they want, and it's a story, and there's, you know, selling newspapers, and they're going to keep pumping it, so people keep watching it.
You think the Packers will go undefeated?
I hope they do. In our situation, you know, 16 guys on IR, it's hard to win. So if that team can stay healthy, and if Aaron Rodgers, more importantly, can stay healthy, I think they can do it. If you look at this year, they're a dominant team, but everyone else, even though there's teams out there that are 10-3, they've shown that they can play pretty bad at times and great at other times, and I think the Packers are the one team in this league that's been very consistent.
We're talking to Carolina Panthers linebacker John Beeson. And, John, like we said, you signed a big contract this offseason. You make a lot of money, and you can buy a lot of things. But what does John Beeson want for Christmas?
Yeah, I was just talking about this with a couple of my teammates yesterday, and I said it's funny how, you know, birthdays and stuff like that, you know, you get the sentimental stuff, which means a lot. But if I want to, you know, we go out to dinner for my birthday, I'm taking the family, I'm going to flip the bill because it's my family, I'm going to take care of it. But,
right.
You know, for me, for Christmas, man, it's more so just, you know, spending time with the fam. This year is going to be special just because we don't have to go to work or play a game on Christmas. So it's nothing that I really want, truly. I'm not, you know, I'm content, and, you know, I'm happy to do for others.
So nothing?
Yeah, there's nothing on my list, man. I mean, it sounds bad to say, but, like, a lot of times if I need something, I just kind of get up and go get it, you know?
And that's a great feeling. That has to be a great feeling.
Yeah. I mean, it sure is. You know, you just focus on what's important in life and, you know, obviously taking care of my family,
right.
You know, for a long period of time is the goal. So you just be smart about it and, you know, make that the priority.
And having this time off, did it give you an opportunity to kind of do a little more things in the community as well?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it, you want to stay relevant and, you know, you do have the time that, to give back and be a part of it. I think that's one thing that, you know, especially with the Panthers, I think our PR people do a great job of getting us involved in the community and different events and appearances we can go to and helping out. I mean, we're really, really, you know, out there in terms of, you know, Charlotte. I mean, we do a great job.
And continue to do that great work in the community. And John, on the show, we like to play a game called Who's Better? I'll give you two topics. You tell me who's better. You ready to play?
Let's do it.
Better rapper Tupac Shakur or Lil Wayne?
Wow. I think a lot of Lil Wayne probably, he probably got a lot of his motivation from Tupac just in terms of putting out a lot of content. Man, it's a tough one. Yeah, I think in their day, I think they're both number one in their day. So Lil Wayne's number one now. Tupac was definitely number one back then.
Right. Better food, fried chicken or chitlins?
Oh, man, come on. Fried chicken.
No chitlins?
No chitlins, man. I'm good on that.
Hot sauce?
No chitlins.
A little hot sauce on it?
Nah. I've had it before, but I'd probably say it's probably been 15 years since I had chitlins.
Well, John, I had them a few weeks ago, and very, very tasty.
Give it a
shot.
Maybe we'll bring it back.
And lastly, better superhero, Superman or Spider-Man?
Superman. I gotta go with Superman. I mean, he's the whole transforming cape. It's not even close. I think Spider-Man is cool. I think he probably got a better costume, but I'm going with Superman.
And John, where can fans connect with you?
My Twitter page at John Beeson, or my website, johnbeeson.com.
Fans, make sure you go to there. Follow him on Twitter at John Beeson and go to his website, johnbeeson.com. And John, you are a Miami boy. Are you excited about the Miami Heat this year?
Yeah, I think Vanny is a huge pickup. Definitely, we're going to increase scoring power. You know, another guy we can go to, guy who's a presence on the defensive end in terms of getting some boards. So I think that's what we lacked big time last year was in the paint.
And I think the pickup of Eddie Curry, don't sleep on that pickup.
I got you. I'll be watching close, man.
Don't sleep on that pickup.
I'm a fan from afar just because we're usually up here, but I get to a bunch of games when I'm home.
John, it was a pleasure talking to you, man. We wish you nothing but the best of luck with this rehab. Get back, get healthy, man, and let's do this again.
Absolutely, and you guys have a good one and happy holidays.
Take care. Merry Christmas.
Peace.
John Beeson, linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. Right now, John is on IR, but he's working hard to get back. And John Beeson is one of the better middle linebackers in this game. And he was on the top 100 list for a reason. He gets it done. And I'm wishing him nothing but the best of luck. And if he can get back, Thomas Davis can get back. With Charles Johnson there on that defense, the Panthers will be all right. They have a quarterback, a legitimate quarterback, a big-time quarterback, and Cam Newton. Cam Newton has showed a lot this year. I'm thoroughly impressed by what I've saw and what I've seen with Cam Newton. I didn't expect this so soon. I mean, his ability is just off the charts. He can throw the ball. He can run. He's big. He's lean. He's long. He can do it all. And I'm expecting big things from this Carolina Panther ball club moving forward in the future. I want to move now to the situation, just a mind-boggling, just a crazy, weird, odd, peculiar, different, whatever word you can use to describe different and odd and weird, that's what this situation is. The Chicago Bears wideout Sam Hurd was arrested this week in Chicago on federal drug charges. Yes, this is the Sam Hurd who plays with the Chicago Bears. Yes, this is the Sam Hurd who got a $1.3 million signing bonus this offseason. Yes, this is a Sam Hurd, who is an NFL wide receiver. But somehow, some way, for some reason, unbeknownst to me, and then it's just flat out crazy, Sam Hurd is allegedly selling drugs. He is allegedly selling drugs. This is crazy. He was arrested for it. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. It's just, man, I mean, usually you sell drugs when you don't have money. We don't have money, you sell drugs. You don't sell drugs when you have money. It doesn't make sense. So was football his front and drugs was his real, selling drugs was his real job? Football was his front? I mean, the guy, he was a frequent visitor to churches in Dallas. He talked about God a lot. And it's just crazy. I mean, it's just doesn't make sense. I mean, the guy doesn't look like that type of guy. And it just, he just does not seem the part. I mean, he referenced God a lot and what he talked, and God seemed to be a part of who he was. And he had actually had a scripture tattooed on his ribs. Like I said, he went to church a lot in Dallas. It just does not make sense. It's just mind-boggling to think that a guy who just got a $1.3 million signing bonus, $1.3 million. I mean, that's more money than a lot of us will ever see in our life. $1.3 million, he got it this offseason. And the guy, allegedly, is a common drug dealer. That, my friends, is crazy. That, my friends, is absolutely crazy. I mean, it's just, why? The question becomes why? Like, I can't really give I don't have an answer for it. I mean, it just does not make sense. It doesn't make sense that a guy who seemingly has a decent life, financially seems to be pretty set at this point. You know, anything can happen, obviously, but seemed to be okay financially. And for whatever reason, he decided, I guess, to sell drugs. He decided to sell drugs. For whatever reason. And it's just, I can't explain it. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense for a guy who seemed to, again, financially was okay, and for whatever reason, he decided to sell drugs, allegedly, at this point. It's all alleged. It's arrested, but it's all alleged at this point. And an interesting quote that Sam Hurd had this summer, he was quoted as saying, "I try to be a great leader, always, because my Father God, who put me in charge of my life to be a leader in this world." Sam, I don't think God wanted you to be a leader of a drug ring. I don't think God wanted that for you. It just doesn't make sense, Sam. I mean, why on this earth would you sell drugs? Drug dealers are supposedly those who are poor, those who may not have money. Sam, you just signed a contract which gave you a $1.35 million signing bonus. $1.35 million signing bonus. You signed it, Sam. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's just mind-boggling. It defies all type of logic. It's just flat out crazy. But Sam Hurd, arrested. Federal drug charges. Federal drug charges. Yes, Sam Hurd, wide receiver for the Chicago Bears, formerly of the Chicago Bears, as he was released yesterday, arrested on federal drug charges. Ripley's, believe it, or not. Second hour of Go For It starts now. And in this second hour, we're expected to be joined by the great Willie Rofe, and Willie is going to talk about all things NFL and also Eagles, Rams, and Redskins linebacker Maxie Bond will stop on by. And Maxie, a 9-time Pro Bowler, a guy that some believe could make it to the NFL, the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So we're going to talk to Maxie in a second, Maxie Bond in the second hour, and the great Willie Rofe in the second hour, and we're going to talk all things NFL with Willie Rofe, and it should be a good conversation, as always. And the trade finally happened. Chris Paul finally was traded, and he was traded to the Los Angeles Clippers. He was traded to the Los Angeles Clippers this past week, a deal that gets the Clippers Eric Gordon, that gets the Clippers Aminu, that gets the Clippers Chris Kaman, and also an unprotected Minnesota's unprotected first-round draft pick from 2012 for 2012. So the deal's finally made. Chris Paul is finally a Clipper, or finally in L.A. on some level, and finally out of New Orleans. And it was a crazy situation. Stern blocked, David Stern blocked the trade. Chris Paul to the Lakers. And ultimately, they were able to work out a trade here with the Los Angeles Clippers. And you look at the Clippers now. You bring in a guy like a Chris Paul, a guy now one of the better point guards in this game. You do lose Eric Gordon, and that's a big loss on some level because Eric Gordon is an up and coming two guard in this league. You do lose Eric Gordon, and you're going to miss Eric Gordon, but you got Chris Paul. So how much really are you going to miss Eric Gordon? But, I mean, Eric Gordon is an up-and-coming player in this game, and it was a great move by both sides. I think both sides got decent. I mean, you look at the New Orleans Hornets. I mean, an opportunity now to get possibly a first-round draft pick with that unprotected pick from Minnesota. And also, you know, you have building blocks there. Aminu's a young player. Eric Gordon is obvious. Eric Gordon is a very good two guard, an up and coming two guard, and then also you have Chris Kaman, who's a guy who can do some things in the post, and then you look at Emeka Okafor they have also there. I mean they have some pieces there in New Orleans moving forward. I mean moving forward there are some pieces there. I mean are they going to be a playoff team? Probably not. I mean, are they going to be 500 probably at best? Yes, but there are building blocks. There are building blocks here. So, I mean, I think it's a good situation for both teams. The Clippers now with Blake Griffin. The Clippers now with Chauncey Billups. The Clippers now with Chris Paul. I mean, DeAndre Jordan's an up-and-coming big man, a guy with a lot of athleticism, a guy with a lot of ability. I mean, the Clippers, you look at it, and I've heard a lot of people talk about this, but the Clippers may be the best team in Los Angeles. The Clippers may truly be the best team in L.A. I mean, adding Chris Paul to go along with a Blake Griffin, to go along with a DeAndre Jordan, to go along with a Chauncey Billups. I mean, a lot of pieces there in Los Angeles with the Clippers. A lot of pieces. Chris Paul, one of the better point guards, one of the main, arguably the best point guard in the game of basketball, is in Los Angeles. But not with the Lakers, but with the Clippers. He is with the Clippers, and that's a great situation if you're him. Excuse me, a great situation for Chris Paul. I mean, a great situation for him. And you got to be excited for him. you got to be excited for the Clippers. And you know that Clipper Darryl is very excited. And Clipper Darryl's probably cheering very well, cheering a lot, actually. And Clipper has been on this show a few times. And I know he's happy. He's happy. So you're probably going to hear a lot of Let's Go Clipper chants this year. And there are going to be some meaningful Let's Go Clipper chants. So it's an exciting time if you're a Los Angeles Clippers fan, if they're out there. If they're out there. And they're not out there. I mean, they seem to have like a cult following, if you will. But the state, what is going to be a better event this year? Is it going to be the Lakers? Or is it the Clippers? What is going to be a better ticket? I mean, you look at the Lakers. Lamar Odom, losing Lamar Odom is big. Losing Lamar Odom is big. And, you know, I guess for whatever reason, his feelings were hurt. And it, you know, they felt the need to move him. Pau Gasol, another guy there. And we're going to see what happens. I mean, apparently Gasol is not, according to some reports, he's not all too thrilled about still being in L.A. after having his name out there. So you got a lot of things going on there. And the Lakers and Kobe Bryant, he's not too happy about Lamar Odom and Lamar Odom being shipped away. And Lamar Odom and Kobe were close friends. So he's not too happy about that. And you look at it. You look at it. I mean, and then you got Kobe Bryant with the situation with his wife who filed for divorce. So there's a lot of things out there, a lot of distractions there for the Lakers. And you have a new coach there, Mike Brown. So is it a situation where possibly – if the Lakers don't pick Dwight Howard or anybody like that, is it a situation where the Lakers take a step back and then the best team in L.A. will not be the Lakers, but the Los Angeles Clippers? I mean, is that the case? Will that be the case? We shall see. We truly shall see, but I mean, you look at it. It's a crazy, crazy situation there with Chris Paul and finally landing in Los Angeles. But you can make the argument now that the best team in Los Angeles is not the Lakers, but the Clippers, and Chris Paul is a big acquisition. I think if you were a Clippers fan, you would love to have seen them put Eric Bledsoe in the deal instead of Eric Gordon. But I think if you're the Hornets, there's no way you trade Chris Paul without getting Eric Gordon. You had to get Eric Gordon if you're the New Orleans Hornets. You had to. And there was no way that you can make that trade without getting Eric Gordon. And there's no way the league would let that go without Eric Gordon being in that deal. You had to include Eric Gordon. He's a legitimate building block. Let's bring in now NFL great, the one, the only, Willie Rose. Willie, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I agree with you. He is a building block. I mean, if they don't throw in Eric Gordon, then they got to throw in the other big man, Jordan. And I don't think they wanted to give up the big man. I think they wanted to keep him and when they got Chris Paul. And I'm gonna tell you what. I live out here, so the kid they got Amaru, the other kid they got in that trade, he's gonna be a good player too.
Yeah.
He's still young.
Right. And I think if you look at it, I mean, if they made the other trade where they would have got Odom and Kevin Martin and Scola and Dragic, I mean, that would have made them competitive now. But to me, the best they would have been was probably around 500. Go ahead.
This was a way better trade. I mean, they got youth. They're going to get some money. They got Kamen coming off the books. They got Gordon, like you said, who's a real good young player. And like you said, a lot of those guys are getting up in age and have had some injuries. But if I'm the Lakers, I can't give Lamar Odom to the defending champion and just give him away for nothing. I don't do that deal. Lamar Odom is a versatile player. He played, he was sixth man of the year last year. He played great for the Lakers. He can play the three, the four, the five. You know, he can push the ball up the court. I don't give Lamar Odom away. I don't understand how they give him away like that.
And you don't give him away in your own conference. I mean,
in your own conference,
away,
between the champs.
Right. And you would figure, I mean, I think Lamar Odom, I think he was what made them go in a lot of ways. The versatility that he had, and with Gasol and him, and that front line with Bynum, they were very long, they were very athletic, and they were a hard matchup for a lot of teams.
They were, and like I said, I mean, like you said, for a guy that can do that many things for the team, and Bynum's been hurt a lot, and I know they picked up Josh McRoberts, but Bynum's been hurt some. Gasol's getting up there. He's going to start cutting back on his minutes. Lamar Odom can do, he's so versatile and can play the four for you. So, I mean, if one of those guys are out, he's playing the four or the three. So I don't understand how you give the guy away because he's been so good for you. But maybe it has more to do with the reality show and all that fiasco that's going on more than what's going on the basketball court.
And with all the distractions there with Kobe and the divorce and with Gasol, they're saying he's not none too happy about being dangled out there for the trade and losing Odom, obviously. Will the Lakers take a step back, and is the best team in Los Angeles the Clippers?
I say the best team in Los Angeles at the end of the season is the Clippers. It's going to take some time for them to put it together, like Chauncey said. Once they mess with the chemistry, I mean, if you got the only problem I see, I understand you're going to have, Chauncey likes the ball. Chris is going to be the point. Chauncey's going to be the two. And Chauncey likes the ball, too. Will Chauncey be able to just spot up or create shots without the basketball? I mean, that's going to be a role he hadn't played in a while. So, you know, Chris Paul's going to have the ball a lot. And, you know, about the Kobe Bryant situation, I think it's sad that everybody knew that might have been coming a while back. But I just remember, you know, hearing stuff about how, you know, the guy, he didn't, his parents and family were trying to get him to get a prenup because he met the girl
right.
When he was 20. She was still in high school. I mean, how do you marry her and you don't have a prenuptial? I mean, it's mind-boggling for a guy to be making this kind of money. And they say he worth somewhere around $150 million. And, I mean, what has he made? A couple hundred million? He made his big contract while he was married.
He's made a lot.
How do you get married to this woman in California and don't have a prenuptial? I just don't understand it.
And California is a half state, so goodness gracious, I feel sorry for him.
He's going to be taking care of the rest of his life. And he's building a new house right now. He moved in that house. I mean, Kobe Smart, he's been in that same house. You know, that's the area that I bought the house I used to live in, and I'm leasing on right now is in the same area in Newport Coast. So Kobe's been in that house for 10 years, and he's building another house, a very nice house. I think the land for that house costs like $9 million, and he's building a house in Pelican Hill off the golf course over there in that same area. But like you said, she gets to keep that house, and the money she's going to get, and probably upwards of $30,000, $40,000, whatever thousand a month, she's going to be well taken care of.
And that's going to make Vanessa look very more appealing to a lot of people.
All over the world.
Let's get to football now. You got Tim Tebow. Tebow is doing what Tebow has done these past few weeks, and he did it against the Bears. I didn't think he would do it and could do it, but he threw for 191 yards in the fourth quarter and in overtime. I'm still not a believer, but are you a believer in Tebow at this point?
I just don't understand how they changed up the whole defense. I mean, it's like they're giving him the game. I mean, the guy can't complete a pass, and then in the fourth quarter you run the zone and let him throw the ball all over the field. With the last drive, he was just didn't miss a pass. I don't understand how you change up your defensive philosophy in the fourth quarter when you shut the guy down and you run a total different defense. I don't understand it. It's like, you know, like the just like the Giants game. I mean, the receivers are running wide open. The Cowboys, Romo missed the guy late in the game, Miles Austin, and then Eli hits the guy that's wide open. I mean, these guys are running too damn open for the NFL. I'm sorry, Paul. I would like to see where's the coverage late in these games. These guys are running wide open.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it just you look at that Giant game, and I mean, the Giants just moved the ball just very easily on those final two drives. It was just I don't know. I mean, defensively, it was just breakdowns after breakdowns on both sides. I mean, the Cowboys put up a lot of points too, so on both sides it was kind of a breakdown. And you're right about the Bears. I mean, they went soft, and for whatever reason, they decided to go soft, and it cost them this football game.
But it can't be this many breakdowns this late in the season. I don't mind if a guy makes a catch when I'm on him. But, I mean, these guys are running wide open, man. They shouldn't have run the football. These guys are running too open. There's too many breakdowns late in the season. It's playoff time. You mean the defense has got to tighten up. So I mean, either you're not doing a good job during the week, or you're running the wrong stuff, but sooner or later, something's got to change here. I can't help guys running wide open like it's a video game, you know, in December, late November.
And you look at it now, Tebow and the Broncos, they face the Patriots, Tom Brady puts up a lot of points, but I think the Broncos, they have an opportunity to put up a lot of points against this Patriots defense. It's not a very good defense, but do you think Tebow and the Broncos will win this week against the Patriots? Does the magic continue?
No, I don't think so. And I think Von Miller might be out this week. I know Brian Dawkins is banged up. Some of the corners are banged up. I don't think they have enough to beat the Patriots. I mean, they're not going to be able to outscore the Patriots. And Tebow's not going to be able to move the ball, even though New England's defense is not as good as it needs to be. I think it's good enough to slow Tebow down more than the Broncos can slow down the Patriots throughout the course of that game.
And the Patriots are 32nd against the pass, so if Tebow's going to put up some big numbers, you would think this might be the game where he does it.
Well, let's see if he can do it.
We'll see. And Willie, everywhere you look, you hear Tebow, you see Tebow, you watch SportsCenter, you see Tebow. I mean, have you ever seen this type of love for an average to below average quarterback? And it kind of reminds me of, on some level, kind of the last player to me that was like this was kind of like William Perry. You know, and William Perry was a decent defensive tackle, but, I mean, he got a lot of love, and he wasn't a superstar. He wasn't a star. And you look at this Tebow stuff, everywhere you turn, I mean, it's a great story, but everywhere you turn, I mean, you see Tebow, you hear Tebow talk about Tebowing and all this other stuff. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this?
You know, not like you said, not for that caliber of player. I mean, you know, I remember when Kurt Warner got the start in St. Louis, and the way he was playing, and it was just a great story. But, I mean, he was putting up big numbers, but so it was a different situation. But the last guy that had a lot of hype, but he went on to win the Super Bowl, was Kurt Warner, because he came out of nowhere and nobody expected him to do it. I think it's just the fact that nobody was expecting Tebow to be able to play, and all the criticism about his mechanics coming out of college and the whole story, and the fact that he is winning and not being able to throw the ball makes it more intriguing. But, you know, like you said, the way some of these teams are breaking down late in the games or letting Tebow take over late in the games, or like the Jets game when they just lost containment, or like last week when Chicago just – it looks like they just changed up everything. Tebow's going to take advantage of that. I mean, Tebow's smart enough that if you do make mistakes and you do change up stuff, he's going to realize it and he's going to pick it apart. I mean, the only team that really went in there and beat them and just ran up a lot of points was Detroit. If you keep the ball, if you know this, if it is a close game and New England doesn't go in there and do what they need to do early and send a message out, then it can't. If it's close, then the Broncos are thinking we're gonna have a chance to win this game, and Tebow can take over again late in the game.
We're talking to NFL legend Willie Rolfe, and Willie, you look at the AFC now. You have four teams in the AFC at 10-3: the Texans, the Ravens, the Patriots, the Steelers. Who do you see getting this number one seed? And I think, and just looking at their schedules moving forward, I'm kind of leaning towards the Patriots, even though I don't think the Patriots are the best team in the AFC.
I would agree with you. I would say with Houston's situation, with the injuries, I would say it is the Patriots. You know, I like Baltimore also coming out the AFC, but I would say right now it is the Patriots if they can get that home field advantage.
And you look at the Patriots. I mean, moving forward, they're at Denver this week, but they have Miami and Buffalo both at home. So it looks like to me that would be the team ideally that would probably get the number one seed in the AFC. But I don't think it'll mean much because I don't think they're going to get into the Super Bowl. I think Baltimore and Pittsburgh are two teams that are better. And so I think even if they get the number one seed, I don't really think it'll matter much because I think Pittsburgh and Baltimore are better. But we'll see what happens, and it is Tom Brady.
And I think the bye week will help them letting the guys rest up. And you're going to have to go in there and score some points. I mean, you're going to have to go in there and outscore Tom Brady. That's going to be the bottom line. Who can make the defensive stops? How good the defense will play like Baltimore did in a couple last year, the year before, when they went in New England and knocked off New England. They did. And I think Baltimore will have the confidence to knock them off. But New England and Baltimore is a year older, and Ray Lewis is dealing with an injury that we don't know how well he's going to play or how long he's going to be able to go with that foot injury. So it's going to be interesting. But Baltimore has played pretty good without Ray Lewis in the lineup. But I think Baltimore would be the team that would be better off to knock them off. And the Pittsburgh game with them is always going to be, very close.
And, Willie, moving to the NFC now, you have the Saints and 49ers both at 10-3. Currently, the 49ers do hold the tiebreaker, but they have the Steelers coming to town on Monday night. To me, the Saints are the better team. But will the 49ers, a team that has the more favorable schedule down the stretch, will they hold on to that number two seed in the NFC?
It's going to be tough. I mean, the Saints got Atlanta coming, too, so the Saints got a tough game coming in next week, too. So I think if they have tied, the problem is if they do end up with the same record, New Orleans will have to go and play them. And New Orleans, as we see, when they go on the road sometimes, they just don't show up, like against St. Louis earlier like this year. So I think New Orleans is the better team with the more experience, than the 49ers, but can they beat them at home? I think New Orleans would be able to beat them at home. So I would say that if they end up with the same record, that San Francisco would be the number two seed. But I think New Orleans might get the number two seed from them.
And Willie, a crazy story in the NFL out of Chicago. Wide receiver Sam Hurd arrested on federal drug charges. And this is a guy who signed this offseason, got a $1.35 million signing bonus this offseason. And he's nothing more, allegedly, than a common drug dealer, than a Nino Brown type. I mean, what was he thinking? I mean, have you ever seen a story any crazier than this?
I mean, he got $1.3 million bonus, and he wasn't even that good a player. So he should have been happy he just got signed, period. I mean, the problem is the list of players that he's got on some list that he's got players on. I mean, what if that list ever comes out, and it's just, that's a crazy situation, man. And with Roger Goodell and everything, I mean, he's not going to have to worry about him because he's not going to need to suspend him because the guy's going to be going to prison. But, I mean, that's just not very smart. Are you trying to go to prison for the next 10 to 20 years for the federal penitentiary day for day? I mean, so I guess that's what he's trying to do.
I mean, I always thought that drug dealers were those who couldn't find a job or those who were poor. I mean, this guy he doesn't fit the mold. I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of inexplicable. And he did say through his lawyer that he has not sold drugs to any players in the National Football League. Of course, he would say that, but we'll see what happens. See how the story progresses. And see, if names do come out, and if names do come out, I mean, you're going to have a mess there in the NFL.
You're going to have a real mess because they said he has a list of pages too long. So How you going to say you haven't sold to him? What are you buying all this for then? Your own personal use? Come on, man. We know better than that.
Right. And speaking of the Chicago Bears, they fell to 0-3 with Caleb Haney as the starter. They have the Seahawks coming to town this week. They're not, and the Seahawks are playing some good football right now. There is an outside shot that Jay Cutler returns on Christmas Day, but the way I look at this Bears ball club, I don't think they'll make the playoffs. I think they're done, and I think they will regret not going after Donovan McNabb. But are the Bears done, in your opinion?
I think they are done because they don't have Forte in the lineup. If they had Forte in the lineup and he was, you know, he's such a big vital part of that offense, then I would say they might have a chance. But, you know, Forte got hurt. They've used him up this season, didn't give him a contract. So he's not going to be trying to come back anytime soon. You're right. With their quarterback situation, I think they should have picked up Donovan McNabb to help them. Until once the caller gets back, I think he's a better option than what they have. So I don't understand if any team should have picked him up. He's from Chicago. He wanted a chance to go back there, and they don't even pick him up, and they need a quarterback. So it didn't make any sense.
And, you know, I mean, you look at this team, I mean, all they need is a quarterback who's not going to make mistakes if you look at their defense and the way their defense plays. And if you look at it, they lost to the Chiefs, but the Chiefs scored on a Hail Mary. And then this week, the defense shuts the Denver Broncos down for pretty much the whole game. And then they get Tebowed, and they start loosening up on defense, and ultimately they get Tebowed. But, I mean, they just need a quarterback that won't make mistakes. And you know, and I think Donovan could have easily done that a lot better than Caleb Haney.
Yeah, won't make mistakes and put together a couple drives that can – score some points to give the defense a little bit of confidence in the offense. They need to get a good – somebody's got to be able to drive it down the field a few times during the game. I mean, they can drive down the field. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, either Mike Morris has got to put a plan together that's going to be able to throw some short passes and get the ball down the field and not do seven-step drops and, you know, get the quarterback more comfortable, do the screen plays. You know, he's going to have to do something to get this kid going, but I don't think they get it done this week either.
Yeah, and I agree with you because Seattle's playing some good football right now, very good football, and their team's trying to make a playoff push, so we shall see what happens, but I agree with you. I don't think they win. And you look at Haney's numbers, 2 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and you cannot make those type of mistakes if you want to win in this league, and throwing those type of interceptions. It's just not a recipe for success, and we'll see what happens with the Chicago Bears.
What do you think about the Jets? The Jets have been playing pretty good football lately.
Jets are playing good football, but unfortunately the Jets are going to run into the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend. And the Eagles are another team that, believe it or not, are actually fighting for their playoff lives. And if the Dallas Cowboys can lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tonight, which to me is very possible.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Very possible. A primetime game, Buccaneers playing some bad football, coming off a bad loss to the Jaguars.
Dallas is giving the last 2 games away. Gift-wrapped them.
True, very true. But this is a primetime game. The heat is on Raheem Morris, Josh Freeman. The heat is on him and not playing good football this year. I like Tampa Bay tonight at home, Sunday, a primetime game, Saturday night football. I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers tonight. And
Dallas wins the game tonight. Dallas wins the game. Well, Dallas running back is out, but I say they still win the game tonight.
I think Tampa Bay gets it done.
Okay.
This victory by Tampa will put the Eagles right back in position. But you're right. The New York Jets are playing some good football right now, and this is typical Jets football at this time of the year. They always do this. They've been doing this for the past couple years now. They turn it on when they need to turn it on and get into the playoffs. And they're going to do it the same this year. I still think they get in, but I think they lose tomorrow against the Philadelphia Eagles. But we shall see. We'll see moving forward. And Willie, each and every week we get your top five, the top five teams in the National Football League. Who do you have this week?
I got Green Bay, Baltimore, but I think Baltimore had a tough game out here in San Diego this week. New Orleans, New England, And Atlanta looked good this week. I know they were playing against Jacksonville, but with all those weapons, I got Atlanta number five.
Wow. Atlanta number five. Atlanta number five. And I think to your point about Atlanta, though, I think they are a team, and I know you said this a few weeks back, but they're a team that can give Green Bay a game. They're one of those teams that can give Green Bay a game, but I think Steelers belong in that top five over Atlanta.
And Atlanta does not make an argument about
the Texans. Go ahead.
Atlanta does not play good on grass.
Okay, okay.
Texans beat them without anybody. The only thing I say about Atlanta. If you want to say Atlanta, the 49ers, well, the 49ers played a better team. Arizona still has some good weapons, and they beat they beat San Francisco last week. I would say that Atlanta just didn't show up sometime. That's the problem I have with Atlanta. They didn't show up against the Texans, who didn't have anybody playing, and they still beat them.
And talent-wise, you look at Atlanta, I think that is a team, like you alluded to a few weeks back, that can stick with Green Bay, and that could beat the Green Bay Packers, them and the New Orleans Saints. And if the Philadelphia Eagles can get to the playoffs, they have the firepower, I think, and they played Green Bay very well two times last year. So, I mean, obviously, this is the farthest long shot for the Eagles to get to the playoffs. But I think that's another team that could give the Packers a game. But we'll see if they make the playoffs. But tonight, I think the Cowboys do lose. So, who knows? I mean, anything can happen.
And that's why your team is so – that's why Philly is so disappointing. They go out and play like that last week. Michael Vick comes back, and they play that type of football. But they just weren't consistent. I mean, they just weren't consistent. I don't know what the problem is. But, you know, Deshaun comes out and plays a little bit, Deshaun Jackson. McCoy plays good. Vick plays good. But they got talent, but it just hasn't – play that type of football consistently enough to get it done this year.
And real quickly, you alluded, go back to the Bears for a second, you alluded about Matt Forte and he may not come back. If you were Matt Forte, would you come back? The Bears didn't take care of you. You're probably their best offensive player and they didn't take care of you. Would you come back if you were Matt Forte?
Would you
wait until you're completely healthy?
I would wait till I was completely healthy. I would not force myself back. Whereas if he had a new deal, maybe he would be trying to come back. But the fact that he doesn't have a new deal and he's got a sprained knee, I would not come out there on that field as a running back and jeopardize hurting myself when I know I'm trying to get a new contract. No.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. I mean, you can't take that type of chance. It would be foolish for him to go back out there if he's not completely healthy. Especially if, you know, he's not going to get paid or may not get paid by the Bears. He's not getting the type of contract that he wants. So I agree with you. I mean, and people, you know, they get on Deshaun Jackson as well. But he's another guy, like, I mean, he's a guy that deserved to get paid. He has outperformed his contract. And, I mean, granted, he may have cost himself some money by his behavior this year. But some of the moves he made in terms of short-arming a ball against the Patriots and things of that nature may have been a business decision, and if it was, you truly understand.
Well, he's going to get paid, and Matt Forte will have to get franchised. I don't care if he doesn't come back the rest of this season and they don't make the playoffs. He was their best player offensively, and he will have to get franchised. He's not hurt for his career. He's still young, and they're going to have to pay him. So if they franchise him, if they tag him, he's going to get paid. If they don't franchise him, somebody else is going to pay him.
He's going to get paid. And if I was him, I would wait till, like you said, I am completely 100% healthy. That's the only way I come back. Only way. We'll see what happens moving forward. Matt Forte, Willie, always a pleasure, man. As always, let's do this again next week, and have a great week, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. We'll be waiting on your picks.
All right.
All right.
Take care. The great Willie Rofe, 11-time Pro Bowler. And again, going back to Matt Forte, I mean, you don't come back unless you're healthy. I mean, you have to ultimately take care of yourself. You have to take care of you. You got a family, got kids, got all that good stuff. You got to take care of that good stuff. And one of the ways to take care of that good stuff is to make sure you're healthy and contribute on an NFL field. That's what you do. You want to be in that situation. You want to be able to make as much money as you can for your family. And the reality is, by Matt Forte coming back and possibly jeopardizing himself, it's not a smart move. It's not a wise move. And I think if I'm Matt Forte, I do the right thing for himself, and I stay out until I am completely 100% healthy. That's the only way I come back. The only way. Because, again, at the end of the day, if he gets hurt badly, his chances of being able to come back, his chances of being able to get that big-time money is jeopardized. And it's jeopardized if he comes back early. So if I'm Matt Forte, I'm making a business decision. And a business decision to me is sitting out and waiting completely till I'm healthy, completely healthy, 100% healthy. Only way I come back is if I'm healthy. Only way. The only way I come back if I'm healthy. That's it. I don't take that chance. It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. And big news coming out of the NBA today, Jeff Green of the Boston Celtics will be out for the year, and he went to had surgery today, actually. Actually, he will have surgery next month, and he is out for the year after a routine physical by the Boston Celtics. They detected an aortic aneurysm. So he's going to be out for the year. Doctors say that he should be able to get back for the following year, but he is out for the year, and that is a big blow to the Boston Celtics. They acquired Jeff Green in that Kendrick Perkins deal. That is a big blow for the Boston Celtics. That's big. That is big. A big, big loss for the Celtics. Jeff Green out for the year, getting his routine physical by the Boston Celtics, and they discovered that. And I guess this is a kind of a public service announcement to those who are out there. This is maybe why it's a good reason to get physicals on a yearly basis. And I know I've neglected that, but, I mean, it's probably a good idea to get yourself a physical because sometimes you just don't know what's going on inside of your body. And this is a perfect example of a guy not knowing what was going on inside of his body. And he's a young man, a young guy. And this happens. This is an unfortunate situation. And, again, you wish a speedy recovery for Jeff Green. Definitely you wish him a speedy recovery. But, I mean, this is tough. It's a tough situation if you're Jeff Green, tough situation if you're the Boston Celtics. And he is going to be out for the year. And his surgery will take place next month. That's stunning. That's big. That's just wow. That's an absolute wow there. Out for the year, Jeff Green, and he was a big part of what the Boston Celtics planned on doing this year. We talked about it before, but Kobe Bryant's wife has filed for divorce. The couple, which has been married for about 10 years now, have filed for divorce. She has filed for divorce, and we talked about it with Willie Rope, but California is a half state. So guess what? Vanessa may be in line for half of what Kobe has earned throughout his illustrious career. It's a lot. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's a lot. It's truly a lot. Kobe Bryant has made a lot of money in endorsements and a lot of money on the court. Vanessa Bryant will get half of that. There is no prenup here. No prenup. Mind-boggling, yes. And let me say it again. Maybe you didn't get it, but there is not a prenuptial agreement in place here. So guess what happens. Vanessa has an opportunity for half. And I know there have been talks years back that his parents were upset with him for marrying her without a prenuptial agreement. His parents were a little upset about the marriage, and I know it caused a rift between Kobe and his parents. But that's a lot of money. And a lot of money Vanessa will be getting. And you know, Vanessa's a very good-looking woman, and this is going to make her even more so appealing. She's got a lot of money coming her way. She's got a lot of money coming her way. It's just an amazing situation. And you look at it, they had their, when Kobe went public and he had the situation in Colorado where he was allegedly, well, he was accused of raping a young girl in Colorado. He said it was consensual. She stuck by him through that. And to me, you look at that, was that probably the first time Kobe Bryant has cheated on his wife? No. But was that probably the first time it became public knowledge that Kobe was cheating on his wife? Yes. But she stuck by him for a while. But ultimately, and that was what? When did that happen? That was back in, 2003. So she stayed with him for the next 8 years. And now she's calling it quits. She wants to get out. She wants to dissolve the marriage. She wants a divorce. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. And we'll see how this works out. But both have signed off. And we'll see what kind of agreement she got and what kind of money she's going to get. But she's going to get some money. She is going to get paid. She hit the lottery the moment she married him, and she'll hit it again when she gets the divorce. She will be taken care of for the rest of her life by Kobe Bean Bryant. He will be taking care of her for the rest of her natural life. What a country. What a country. What a country. And it's a beautiful thing. It makes you want to be Vanessa Bryant right now. It makes you want to be Vanessa Bryant. She's got a lot of money coming her way. And I talked about how much will this be a distraction for Kobe? How much will this distract him this year? And he seems like a guy that is not easily distractible, but we'll see what happens moving forward with this. But if you're Kobe Bryant, I mean, some of your fortune will be taken. Some of your fortune will be taken. And we'll see what happens with this whole situation moving forward. But Kobe Bryant is going to be losing some money here. He's going to take a little hit in his pockets. He's definitely going to take a hit in his pockets. But we'll see what happens moving forward with Kobe in this whole situation. But he's losing money here. He's going to be losing some money here. So we'll see what happens moving forward. Let's bring in now NFL legend, Mr. Maxie Bawn. Maxie, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Paul. Good, very good. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Maxie. We truly appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And Maxie, you started your career in 1960, and you immediately had an impact with the Philadelphia Eagles. And ultimately, you won a championship with the Philadelphia Eagles. How special was 1960 for you as a player?
Well, I tell you what, coming out of college and being kind of short on realizing where in the world I was, all of a sudden I was in Philadelphia playing every play of every game as a rookie, and that got my attention. And then we started winning, and we had Noam Van Brocklin for a quarterback. And we just all of a sudden had a championship, and that made it great, you know. And I was playing every play, helping call the defenses. I made the Pro Bowl as a rookie, and I thought, hey, this is a pretty good deal.
Sounds like it. You look at it, Maxie, you guys, like I said, would win the championship in 1960, the only championship in Philadelphia Eagles history. But talk about that. I mean, describe the feeling of winning a championship and being the best in the sport for that particular year.
Well, I tell you what. See, I was, being a rookie, I was the youngest guy there. So I was just a tag-along most of the time. So when good things happen, I just took advantage of it and let things go as they could, and just feeling great. I didn't know how to feel because I felt like that the rest of my career wouldn't feel like this. You know, starting as a rookie and playing, and then winning the championship. I had to go on a little bit further to find out how it was to lose.
And you look at it, Maxie, ultimately your time in Philadelphia would end, and I guess it was a contract dispute. You requested a trade, and you ended up in L.A. At the time, did you really want to leave Philly?
Not really. I just things weren't working out right, and I figured that they were going to have – they just didn't want me. So I said, take me to New York. That's where the money is. Or Atlanta, that's where I live. And so they traded me to Los Angeles. That couldn't have got me any further away than from where I wanted. But it was a stroke of luck because being – traded to Los Angeles and George Allen just moving out there from Chicago. It was the best thing that ever happened to me in my professional career.
We're talking to former NFL linebacker Maxie Bohn. And Maxie, in L.A., you talked about it. You and George Allen, you guys forged a great bond there. Talk about that.
Well, I tell you what, I went out there and I was a player that felt like that I knew what the heck I was doing, and he back then we called the defenses on the field, and he brought Bill George from Chicago with him to help him teach the system to the defense, and Bill George was there for a year, and I played on the right side. Bill played the middle. Jack Pardee played on the left. And after that, Bill George retired, and then I started calling the defenses. But I did call them in L.A., in Philadelphia, too. But and getting to understand more about football, the longer I played, the more I understood and more I felt like that, you can make good things happen by knowing what the heck's happening and what's going on. Right. And George Allen brought me forward in all of that and taught me how to do it.
And ultimately, you would retire in 1970, but you would return as a player coach in 1974 with the Redskins. How did that all happen?
Well, what happened, I hurt my foot and I had the pins in my foot and couldn't run. So I retired and went to Georgia Tech, coached 2 years down there, and George called and said, hey, I want you to come up and play. And I said, George, I can't hardly walk, much less run. And he said, well, come up and coach the linebackers and dress out. And Chris gets hurt, you can go in and play. And Chris didn't get hurt, that, thank goodness. And I think we took him out 16 plays. I think I played 16 plays the whole year. But then Ted took the job in Baltimore, and I went up with him as his defensive coordinator.
And you talked about your foot, but how effective were you in those plays that you played in 1974?
I hope not very, No, it was games that that we were winning, and I got to play. George wanted to take him out for a little bit, and I don't think I was. If I'd have graded me out, I probably wouldn't have been very good.
And Chris, that's Chris Hamburger, correct?
Oh yeah, Chris Hamburger, yeah. Who of course just inducted into the Hall of Fame, which is just fantastic.
And you went on to coach in college, and you also, like you said, was a defensive coordinator and assistant in the National Football League. Did you prefer the college game over the pro game, or which one did you like better?
You know what? I like both of them. I don't think I could say I liked professional football better than college football or college football better than each one of them had the areas that you could really enjoy. And then each one of them had your areas where you couldn't stand it. And like in college, the worst thing about college coaching is recruiting, having to go and travel, and just all of that is just, that'll drive you to drink, you know. Good thing I didn't drink.
Drink water.
Yeah, that's right.
How much do you follow the NFL game today?
You know, I follow the Redskins a little bit and the Ravens a little bit. I coached with the Ravens the first 3 years here and then with Ted Marchibroda. And when we got fired, Diane, my wife, and I decided, hey, we've moved enough. So we still live in the house that we bought when we came up with the Ravens.
Do you miss coaching?
No, I don't. I do a little bit of stuff in the summer. A friend of mine owns offense defense. It's a children's camp for young boys, really from 8 to 18. And he has them at different colleges around, and we do one at Towson, and I do one in Philadelphia and one in Rhode Island. I do three of those a year, just working with him and staying there and helping him coach the kids. I enjoy that, and that's enough for me.
And you look at the NFL game now, a lot of different rules in there for the helmet-to-helmet hits and things of that nature. More is done now to kind of protect the players. You look at the game now, are you disappointed by the new rules that kind of protect the quarterback and protect the players, or it's something that needed to be done?
I think it's something that needed to be done, and it helps, especially the concussion thing. I think the more we dig into this thing, the more we understand that the head injuries that we've had just is horrendous. And the more they can learn, the more they can help and with the rules to try to stop those injuries, I think it's important.
We're talking to NFL legend Maxie Vaughn. And Maxie, you're in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. You're in the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. And you're in the College Sports Hall of Fame. Chris Hamburger recently got inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. 9 Pro Bowls, just like yourself. Does that give you hope that you will eventually get your name called for the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well, I would be remiss to not say that, hey, I want to do it. But it's not something that I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, because I have no control over it. And like I said, it was long coming for Chris, and I'm really, really proud for him.
Right. And right now, what are you doing now at this present moment? What's going on in the life of Maxie Bond? What keeps you busy?
Well, my wife and working in the church and working with the Boy Scouts and We've got 8 grandchildren, and we're just getting ready for them to come down for Christmas and just playing golf. There's 3 of us from our church that play. One of them's a preacher, and we have to watch ourselves. But, you know, just relax and having fun and helping out wherever I can.
And what does Maxie Bond want for Christmas?
What do I want for Christmas? Well, I tell you what, I want 8 grandchildren and our 3 sons and their families all here enjoying it. And one of the first things the little ones want to do is take the BB gun and go out and shoot. Well, and that's what we do. We got a BB gun, and we go out and we shoot that thing. So they're learning how to handle firearms and learning to do it the correct way. And the 17-year-old can do it, and the 5-year-old can do it. So they learn, and that's good for them.
And I know you do some autograph signings. Do you have any events coming up with that?
You know, I think I've got something later on in the spring. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it, but Rich Lieberman helps me, and I let him get it straightened out, and I'll just show up, you know.
And show up and do all the signings, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, you get to see some people. The good thing about it, there's a lot of, like, about a month ago, we went up to Philadelphia, and Joe Schmidt was there. And I hadn't seen Joe in 20 years, you know, and it's good to see people like that. So.
And Maxie talked about Richard Lieberman. Make sure you go to leaderinsports.com. That's leaderinsports.com. Maxie Bond, a lot of your stuff is up there on that website. So make sure you guys go to that website. Again, leaderinsports.com. Maxie, it was a pleasure talking to you, sir. Greatly appreciate it. Good luck on the golf course. Good luck with all the activities that you're doing right now. And let's do this again, and we wish you nothing but the best of luck. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Maxie Bond, NFL legend, and we'll see if Maxie gets the call for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Again, 9 Pro Bowls, just like Chris Hamburger. So we'll see if he can get it over the top and get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's in every other Hall of Fame, so we'll see if he can get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But it was a pleasure talking to him and talking to an NFL legend. And he's just enjoying his life right now, and that's a beautiful thing. That is a beautiful thing, to be able to enjoy life, to be able to relax, to be able to chill, to be able to enjoy life. Great thing, great thing, great, 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 great thing. About another 2 minutes left here on the show. We had a great show today. Pleasure being joined by John Beeson of the Carolina Panthers, and make sure you go to his website, johnbeeson.com, and make sure you follow him on Twitter, at John Beeson. Also, Willie Rove, we thank him for stopping by. Make sure you go to follow him on Twitter, at Willie_Rove. Follow him on Twitter there. He's on Twitter a lot. He's very busy on Twitter, so make sure you follow him on Twitter. He's doing a lot of work there on Twitter, so follow him. And make sure you also, we also want to thank Lonnie Paxton for stopping by, and make sure you go to his foundation website, activeforcefoundation.org. That's activeforcefoundation.org. There you can see some of the great things Lonnie Paxton is doing in the community. He's doing a lot of great, great things. So make sure you go there and support some of the things he's doing in the community. You can listen to this show and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/pgame, where you can listen to this great show and other great, great shows that we're doing each and every week here on Go For It. Make sure you follow on Twitter, at Go For It Gant. I say a lot of nice things, too. Say a lot of fun things, too. and do a lot of laughs and have a good old time. So make sure you follow me on Twitter at GoForItCamp. Follow me. I am a funny guy. I like to have a good old time. So follow me on Twitter. And also for Maxie Ball, make sure you go to leaderinsports.com. That's leaderinsports.com. So make sure you go there and support some of the things that's going on there. And again, activeforcefoundation.org for Lonnie Paxton and johnbeeson.com for John Beeson. For everybody here at Go For It, we enjoyed talking. We enjoyed having you listen. We'll see you next week. Take care. Bye.